We are now joined on the line by Saleem Samad, who is an eminent Bangladeshi journalist in exile now living in Ottawa, Canada. As a journalist, Saleem has done a great deal of work to publicize the emerging political situation and ongoing political and religious repression by the Bangladeshi government. Saleem is here in Montreal as part of an event organized by the South Asia Center that will explore issues of human rights, civil liberties, and minority rights. He joins us now on the line to give some perspective and context to the current political situation in Bangladesh. Hello, Saleem.
Hi.
So could you describe for us, as a journalist, what kind of shifts you have been observing in the past few years in terms of the agendas of prominent Bangladeshi political groups? What has been the overall political climate in Bangladesh, and what sort of direction has it been shifting towards?
First, I need to go back, instead of going back a few years, I need to go back three decades before, when Bangladesh was born in 1971 in a bloody war with the Pakistan troops. And the reason was that Pakistan was an Islamic nation, and Bangladesh was created on the basis of secularism. The constitution immediately after 1971, in fact in 1973, the constitution was apparently the most secular constitution in the world. People had the right to exercise their freedom of thought, their expression, even religious practice and beliefs. And even Bangladesh constitution allowed a person to be even non-religious. But it has gradually shifted in one decade, which is by 10 years after Bangladesh was born, despite being a secular country, Bangladesh immediately drifted to pro-Islamist governments. They took over, and gradually the people in the last three decades have become more Islamic and further pushed into the Islamic, the present context of what we describe as resurgence of the Islamists all over the world. So Bangladesh became a major partner to this issue. So obviously, despite having a democratic government, despite my three consecutive governments have been elected with a massive people's vote, despite having a woman as a prime minister in all the three governments, we still have not been able to take the country back towards secularism. And one of the reasons that I'm in exile is because I'm one of the person who has been writing on why Bangladesh have moved away from secularism to Islamization.
I wanted to ask you what events have happened in the past few years. In particular, you mentioned that you've been forced to go into exile. What have been some of the shifts that your country has been through to warrant that sort of exile of yourself and also other people who have spoken up against the government?
Well, one of the major issues is obviously the secularism. One of the basic, not only the practices of the people in the country, it has been 1,000 years of heritage of the land in which is now part of Bengal and now Bangladesh was a secular nation all through. But in the last couple of years, the Islamic nationalist chauvinist government led by Begum Khalida Zia, though she doesn't wear a hijab, but she had made an alliance with the Islamist party, which has definitely converted the basic principles, as well as officially the government is more Islamic than it was before, and before it was secular. The last part is that most of the people who have been, like me or many civil societies and NGOs who have been very vocal about, especially about women issues, especially about religious minorities, had been faced the wrath of the government.
I wanted to focus in on the Ahmadiyya community. Could you give us a brief overview about the situation that is faced by the Ahmadiyya community in Bangladesh and the sort of persecution they are facing as a religious minority?
Oh, yes. First of all, I want to go back to three years before. So, this government came into power on 2001 on 1st of October after a free and fair election. But soon, within 24 hours of the election, the Hindu minorities had been persecuted all over Bangladesh. And none of the cases were accepted by the police station. And there was no investigation because the government continuously denying that such religious atrocities or persecution against the Hindu religious minorities have occurred. Okay, soon after the success in persecuting the Hindus, the next target was the Ahmadiyya. But apparently Bangladesh is a Muslim nation, I mean, majoritarian Muslim nation. But they suddenly decided to declare the Ahmadiyya community as non-Muslim. Ahmadiyya community is a Muslim sect. Well, Bangladesh has few more Muslim sects, like the Shia also. But none of them has been targeted except the Ahmadiyya, because Ahmadiyya, in fact, economically as well as politically and even by education level, they are very well placed in the Bangladesh society. So declaring them as a non-Muslim unofficially, it would definitely marginalize their economic strength in Bangladesh, as well as the intellectual exercise they have been contributing in Bangladesh. This has, in fact, claimed that in 1953, Pakistan did the similar exercise. And in 1973, Pakistan banned Ahmadiyya Muslims, declared Ahmadiyya Muslims as non-Muslim. They are a different religion. Exactly, it is a copycat. Even the blasphemy law, which has been the Islamist party had tried to push through the parliament, is exactly the copy of the bill which has been passed in the Pakistan parliament.
What are some of the actual persecutions that this community is facing? Could you give us some examples?
Only last week, the Ahmadiyya community in the southwest Bangladesh came under attack, and 20 of the people were seriously injured, and mostly women and children. The reason that this persecution is in the last couple of years, the Islamic zealots have been trying to push the government to declare the Ahmadiyya as a non-Muslim. So as the government is trying to delay in the decision, they are attacking their mosque, the place of worship, and declaring, putting up signs saying this is not a mosque, just a place of worship. So this has definitely caused social and political tension all over Bangladesh. And till today, majority of the mosque has been attacked in Bangladesh and declared as a place of worship.
In your opinion, what's the sort of political motivation behind the targeting of such communities like the Ahmadiyya? What is the larger political agenda that is at play?
The larger agenda by the ruling party. The ruling party, my Prime Minister Khalada Zia, she had made a coalition partner with the extreme Muslim fanatic political party. So definitely she also wants to keep the Islamic zealots in good humor. So officially the government has done little to accept the demands of the Islamic zealots, but this has definitely given an encouragement to the Islamic zealots to attack the Ahmadiyyas all over the country, all the mosques, and even the communities and the villages wherever the Ahmadiyyas have been exercising their, practicing their own religion.
I was wondering, as a journalist, if you could give us your perspective on how the Bangladeshi press has been covering these issues of repression within the country.
Despite all the limitations, apparently when you understand that despite having a democratic government and we don't have much of freedom of expression, the press in Bangladesh is doing a very tremendous job. At least there are about a dozen independent press in Bangladesh, and the television news is also very independent. So they have, the press has been very vocal, and they have reported the issue exhaustively, and even day before yesterday, three newspapers ran editorials condemning the government why the Ahmadiyyas are not being protected, why their religious belief and practices has not been allowed on the basis of the constitution of Bangladesh. The press is also under severe pressure, but apparently the press had been very well covering the incidents.
As a journalist, you have also come under fire, and you were actually arrested a couple of years ago and put into prison. Could you talk to us a little bit about why, what happened? What were the circumstances under which you were arrested as a journalist?
Well, I don't want to tell you my story because it is very, very similar to most of the incidents which are happening in that part of the world, I mean, in South Asia, which is now Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, in fact, I was arrested in 2002, I mean, which is literally 1 year after the present Islamist nationalist government came into power. And I was working for Channel 4 TV, and the Channel 4 TV in London was making a documentary on, and of course, on the basis of that, how far has Bangladesh moved from the principle of secularism to Islamization. And well, we made a deadly mistake. The mistake was we bumped into or have met the Islamic terrorist. The Islamic terrorist. In fact, they are not from my country. They are mostly from Arab countries. We were able to speak to them and we were able to talk to them, though they didn't allow us to film them or speak to us on tape. But soon after we left the place, we were immediately put under surveillance by the military intelligence. And subsequently, we were all arrested and charged for treason. And after I was released, we discovered that, in fact, we have walked into a military intelligence safe house. And in that safe house, the Islamic terrorist, which has networked with Al-Qaeda, have been sleeping in Bangladesh, under the hospitality of my Bangladesh military intelligence. So this has not given me in good in peace. For one, peace means I was not, my family and myself, we were not spared, even after I was released. So I was working for Time magazine by the time when I was released. And Time magazine published, of course, stories and articles which the government did not like. And I was haunted and hunted by the military intelligence till I had to flee the country. And now I'm in Canada, and I'm sure I will never be able to go back to my country because my problem does not lie with the government. My problem is more with the military intelligence. So as long as the military intelligence is active in my country, they are not put under people's audit, like under the parliament, the military intelligence will definitely play a major role in the Bangladesh politics. And their major role means being more pro-Islamic and more pro-nationalism.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Salim.
Thank you for your time.
We were joined on the line by Salim Samad, who is a Bangladeshi journalist in exile.